we're using Amichai's phone to record. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
We are on.
Pays on the pays. Okay, we're on Beis Amin Beis Amichai, yeah? Amar Ula, with Remez, Leidim, Zomimim. Yes?
Great.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to hit record?
It's recording already.
Good. Beis Amin Beis Amar Ula, Remez, Leidim, Zomimim, Minat Torah, Minayin. Where do we have an allusion to the concept of Edim Zomimin in the Torah? Ask the Gemara. Remez Edim Zomimin. You want an allusion? The Pasuk tells you, you don't need an allusion. So what's the question here? Ela? No, it's not the way you understood. Remez Edim Zomimin Shelokin Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do you have an allusion that the halacha we said in the Mishnah that Edom Zomimin, that you cannot fulfill Kasher Zomam, will get Malkus? Dichtiv, as it says, the following psukim.
Is there like something to learn out of that is asking, so it seems like such an obvious question? Like it's asking like where we learn about Edom Zomim, and then there's all like a... Like a poem pasuk about it?
Yes. Let's leave it hanging for now. You're right with the question. What was the Havamina? But let's leave it for now, and we'll revisit the question. Meseda?
Okay.
Now, in order to continue, we have important rules here. The rule is, my 11th grade Rebbe told us, the note of a true scholar is one who looks up his sources. So we have to open up a chumash and see these psukim. Meaning, very often, the Gemara quotes this psukim, and it's tempting to just read. And you have no idea what you're talking about if you don't open the Chumash. It's like a waste of time. You're not learning. So,
here the Gemara... Torah usually be sufficient? What? Is the Torah or usually sufficient for that? Or?
No.
No?
Okay. You can't be lazy. And one of the tools you should have with you whenever you're learning is a Tanakh. And preferably one of those single-volume Torah and single-volume Nevim Ksuvim that have many Pirushim on the side. Because we're not on the level where when we just open a Tanakh, we know what the Pasuk is talking about, right? We need Rashi, we need Targum, we need some Pirushim. So the Gemara is quoting us Pesukim, which really are at the core of the whole Masechet. So what we should really do is, before we start the Masechet, learn these Pesukim. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a detour for probably 4 days. It'll probably take us 4 days to learn this, but we'll learn it the way we should learn it. So why don't you guys get Chumashim, and we'll begin. Now, if I were Rabbi Soloveitchik, then before we started the Masechet, I would have said, now let's learn this whole parasha. But I felt you guys would get frustrated if you did that. So we're going to do it.
No. That's how the first bit of it. Shigur began with Chumash for a week or two. You pull out, I pulled out one I wanted. You can take a regular Chumash of Chumash Torah. What? Take out a regular Chumash of Chumash Torah for now.
For which?
Which is Zvar. Chumash Zvar. In fact, it's Kisei.
Where
have one here. I have one more here. Yehuda, you have a chumash.
That's Akiva.
Akiva, I hope you're getting a chumash.
I'm trying to, Rav.
Good for you. So we open up to the book of Devarim, the end of Parashat Ki Teitze. Yes.
Okay.
The beginning of what the Christians call the 25th chapter.
Fifth chapter?
Chafin.
Okay. Speech it after Hazira.
No, which one? Before Kitavon.
Kitavon.
Chapter Chafin.
Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ki yiriv. Ki yiriv bein anoshim. When there will be a quarrel between men. The term riv we find by Lot and Avram. And it sounds like someone was inappropriate there because Lot was making inappropriate claims. The word riv, the Targum says, is din. He doesn't say matsuta. Matsuta means a fight. Doesn't say that. There is a quarrel between anashim, between men. V'nigeshu el hamishpot ushfotum. And they will go to court, and court will judge them. The word ushfatim seems superfluous. It seems to indicate that there is a mitzvah on the court to judge. If it were just descriptory, if it were just a story, the pasuk should have just said, v'nigeshu l'hamishpat, they will go to justice. It doesn't say that. It adds the word ushfotum. We have to ask, is the words v'nigeshu l'hamishpat a mitzvah? Is it instructions? Or is it descriptory the way the beginning of the pasuk seems to be? The beginning of the pasuk is also seemingly superfluous. Obviously, if people go to court, they have a fight. The beginning of the pasuk, Yiriv, needs explanation as well. What's it describing? It's describing a certain scenario. The pasuk could have began, Nigeshu l'hamishpat, and I would have understood. Who's going to court? The people who have a problem. No. These people are described as they have a riv. And we describe that the word riv, we know already in Tanakh, is where one is completely illegitimate. Lot comes to Avram and says, I can steal from the people living in Israel, because at the end God will give it to me. So Lot isn't right. That's the riv we know. V'nigeshu l'mishpat, that means definition. They will go to justice, ushfatum. And they will judge them. The Sifri says, Baal Korcham, the word Ushvatum teaches us, that the court will impose justice against their will. Is that only after Nigeshu l'Mishpat? Only after I ask the court to get involved? V'itzdiku et ha-tzadik. V'irshiu et ha-rasha. The court will make the righteous one righteous. And the wicked one, wicked. Every time there's an argument between people, one of them is wicked. Can't be that both are right. Can't be there's a misunderstanding. The mission, the pasuk seems to describe that we're talking about a scenario where one of them is rasha. Wait a second. Why does there have to be a rasha in our story? Two people disagree. Why is one called a rasha? The pasuk says, it's the responsibility of the court to verify who is the tzaddik. One of them has to be a tzaddik. And who is the rasha? The word vehitzdiku sounds like they will illuminate, they will show who is the tzaddik. Vehitzdiku. They will show who is the tzaddik. We continue. Next pasuk. Vehaya im bin hakot harasha. And it will be if the wicked one is bin hakot, if he deserves, if he is worthy of being hit. So again, it's a fight, but not a fight between two legitimate claims. One is called the Rasha. Vaya im bin hakot harasha. And it will be, if the Rasha has done something that is worthy of getting hit, yes, bin hakot, worthy of getting hit, vipilo ha-shofet. Ah, now we speak about the judge. Until now we said, nigashu al ha-mishpat, they will go to justice. Here the pasuk describes, vipilo ha-shofet, the judge will knock him down, vihikahu lefanav, and he will hit him lefanav. What does that mean? In front of him? Kedei rishato b'mispar, in accordance with his wickedness in number, meaning an accurate amount. It's not just a question of you're wrong, you deserve getting hit, bada biff, bada boom, bada bang. No, b'mispar, there's going to be an accurate number of times that the wicked one has to get hit, if he deserves to get hit. Every word in this pasuk will teach us laws of makos. It will teach us about the system of hitting someone in court. Every word in this pasuk, the Gemara will still analyze. Arba'im yakenu lo yosif. He'll hit him 40 times, he may not add. Pen yosif lakoto alele makar haba. Lest he adds over these and hits him a huge blow. Meaning until this is not called a huge blow. But if you add, it is called a huge blow. V'nikla achicha leinecha. And your brother will be shamed in front of you. Until this, you haven't shamed him. You hit him up to 40, that's okay. You cross this number, you're going to hit him so much that you've shamed him. And now he is no longer called the Rasha. A minute ago you told me, beat the wicked one. Now we say, don't shame your brother. A minute ago, you weren't talking about my brother. Lo tachsom shor b'disho, end of parasha. And by the way, don't muzzle your ox as it's threshing. How'd that fit in? Then the parasha ends, right? Then you have your samach. L'chora, lo tachsom shor b'disho, has nothing to do with what we just read. And Chazal say, the juxtaposition, that in this parasha it says, don't muzzle your ox, is what's going to define everything we just read, that when do we give makot? When the person transgressed, lo tachsom shor b'disho. The whole idea of what we just said? Yes, sir.
The pasuk that the sugim that the Rav just read seem to be talking as if it's just two people who are in dispute with each other that have come to have it out in court. Doesn't seem to be talking about Edom Zomimim, or and it seems to be talking about just a Stam series of events with two people, which doesn't seem to fit the mold for Makot as a punishment.
Right. So that's where we will pick up tomorrow, Bezat Shem. How we analyze these psukim right now, we got to start davening. We miss you, Akiva. Boker Tov.